I have a newspaper here. Rather tattered, I'm afraid. And turning a bit yellow. It's 8 years old. There's an item I'd like to read you. Dateline Paris, 7th December, 1948. It's from a correspondent covering the UN General Assembly held in Paris that year. He quotes the chairman of one of the assembly committees.
Do you want to know what present-day society, what members of the United Nations think about man, about you and me? Do you want to know what they think about our human dignity, our rights, our fundamental principles? If you do, then read, ponder, and apply this document.
Unquote. This document was placed before the General Assembly, and 3 days later, on December 10th, 1948, it was unanimously proclaimed as
the Universal Declaration of Human Rights.
To commemorate Human Rights Day, the eighth since the General Assembly proclaimed the Universal Declaration, United Nations Radio presents Article 3, a reflection on the right to life, liberty, and security.
December 10th, 1948. 3 years after the war. 3 years after 6 years of mass torment and destruction. From London to Nagasaki, from Leningrad to the New Guinea jungle, many of the scars of war remained unhealed. Scars in the bricks and mortar of towns, scars in the memories of men. During the last hours of that December 10th in Paris, the representatives of 58 nations assembled in the great theater of the Palais de Chaillot were giving their final approval to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Mindful of the scars of 6 years, they noted these words from the preamble.
Disregard and contempt for human rights have resulted in barbarous acts which have outraged the conscience of mankind.
And mindful, too, of the needs of the future, they noted these further words.
The inherent dignity and the equal and inalienable rights of all members of the human family are the foundation of freedom, justice, and peace.
History records many noble strivings towards the goal of freedom, justice, and peace. There have been many great declarations.
Magna Carta, 1215.
The Bill of Rights, 1689.
The American Declaration of Independence, 1776.
The French Declaration of the Rights of Man, 1789.
Historic forward steps, but confined. This time, the representatives of the nations agreed, the declaration must be for all peoples, universal. And so they voted, as midnight approached on December 10th, 8 years ago. The Universal Declaration was proclaimed. To remind ourselves of what this declaration is and what it is not, let us go back to that meeting in the Palais de Chaillot. From the archives of United Nations Radio, here's a recording made from the floor of the meeting. The speaker is the delegate of the United States and chairman of the UN Human Rights Commission, which had spent 2 years drafting the declaration. Here, in the speech she made 8 years ago, is Mrs. Eleanor Roosevelt.
In giving our approval to the declaration today, it is of primary importance that we keep clearly in mind the basic character of the document. It is not a treaty, it is not an international agreement, it is not and does not purport to be a statement of law or of legal obligation. It is a declaration of basic principles of human rights and freedom, to be stamped with the approval of the General Assembly by formal vote of its members, and to serve as a common standard of achievement for all peoples of all nations. We stand today at the threshold of a great event, both in the life of the United Nations and in the life of mankind. This Universal Declaration of Human Rights may well become the international Magna Carta of all men everywhere.
From Paris in 1948 to New Delhi in 1956, on November 5th, UNESCO, the agency which, along with the UN itself, is most directly concerned with the task of making the declaration known and understood throughout the world, opened its general conference in India's capital city. As the delegates gathered, the news was grimmer than at any time in recent years. The Prime Minister of India, Jawaharlal Nehru, welcomed them.
We meet at a moment when we can hear again the dread tramp of armed men and the thunder of the bombs hurled from the skies to destroy men and cities. Because of this, there is perhaps a measure of unreality about your discussing the various items in your agenda, which have nothing to do with this deep crisis of the moment. But these very developments force reality upon us and mold our thinking.
The right to freedom from arbitrary arrest.
The right to a fair trial.
To freedom of movement and residence.
To social security.
To work. To education. To a nationality.
To freedom of worship.
The freedom of expression.
The right of peaceful assembly.
The right to hold public office.
To seek and be granted asylum.
To own property.
To freedom from cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment.
These and many more are the rights proclaimed in the Declaration. And there is Article 3, which reads in full,
everyone has the right to life, liberty, and security of person.
It is not an international agreement or a statement of law. It is a standard of achievement for all peoples. Is it therefore unreal to think about it in times like these? The denials of human rights which we witness are real enough. The very existence of the Universal Declaration is a symbol of our failures to read, ponder, and apply the document, as the committee chairman urged in Paris 8 years ago. On May 15th this year, the Secretary General of the United Nations visited the old colonial town of Williamsburg, Virginia. Mr. Hammarskjöld had been invited to speak at a celebration of the 180th anniversary of the Virginia Declaration of Rights. From the address he gave that day, we quote these words.
Some days ago, I returned from an assignment in the Middle East. I had to negotiate questions connected with the implementation of the armistice agreement between Israel and her Arab neighbor states. In their first articles, those armistice agreements established the right of each party to its security and freedom from fear of attack. In a political context of the utmost significance, this clause recognizes a human right which, in a broad sense, may be said to sum up the whole philosophy of human rights.
The events of the past months have focused a searching light on Article 3, on the right to life, liberty, and security. They have demonstrated how the rights of individuals can be linked in perilous intimacy with the issues of war and peace. Let's look for a moment with analytical eye at two key words here, security and fear. What is the right to security? Isn't it surely the right of every individual, of every nation, to develop freely while recognizing that others have the same right? And what of fear? What is the force of fear and its pattern? Isn't the answer that in the grip of fear, we may all do things that are normally quite foreign to us? The muscles of the shoulder can lift an arm to caress, and they can also lift it to strike down and destroy. How often have we heard an explanation of some violent and uncontrolled action given in words such as these?
It was as if I was being dragged inexorably into a dark and gaping vortex. Somehow my mind and my body seemed divorced, the one from the other. My will seemed distorted, unrecognizable. In utter weariness, I could no longer resist the headlong descent to the final explosive point of desperation.
The pattern of fear. The pattern of potential tragedy. Under the fear of attack, the fearful can become the attackers. In that same speech last May in Williamsburg, Virginia, the United Nations Secretary General said,
"Why is war and fear of war in the headlines of every daily paper, if not because man fears man and nation nation?" Could there be a more eloquent sign of how far we are from the recognition of the philosophy behind the principles of human rights on which alone peace can be built? Can there be a greater challenge for us to work for such a recognition of the dignity of man as would eliminate the fear which is eating our world like a cancer?
Recognition. Recognition of human dignity.
If, at long last, the recognition of human dignity means to give others freedom from fear, then that recognition cannot be simply a question of passive acceptance. It's a question of the positive action that must be taken in order to kill fear. This is not a question of abstract ethical principles. I state conclusions from some very concrete recent experiences. It's when we all play safe that we create a world of the utmost insecurity. It's when we all play safe that fatality will lead us to our doom.
So then, there must first of all be courage. Courage that will break the present spell. Courage that arises from within, to spark action both individual and collective. The Universal Declaration of Human Rights stresses that these rights are inherent. They are vested in and belong to the nature of man. No external authority, no government, however benevolent, not even a unanimous vote by the members of the United Nations, can grant and assure these rights. The starting point is in the nature of man, in the recognition of human dignity. Let us go back once more to New Delhi on November 5th, 1956, to the opening session of the UNESCO General Conference. At one point in his speech of welcome to the delegates, the Indian Prime Minister said,
"I have called this great assembly the conscience of the world community. The problems we have to face, many and complicated as they are, will never be solved except on the basis of good morals and conscience. It is for this reason that I beg of you, distinguished delegates from the nations of the world, to pay heed to this collapse of conscience and good morals that we see around us, for unless we do so, all our fine ideals and the good work you have done will be shattered into nothingness."
All human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights.
No one shall be held in slavery or servitude.
No one shall be subjected to torture or inhuman treatment.
Everyone has the right to freedom of thought, conscience, and religion.
Everyone has the right to a nationality.
Everyone has the right to life, liberty, and security of person.
This is the 8th anniversary of the proclamation of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, proclaimed by the General Assembly of the United Nations at Paris, December 10th, 1948.
You have just heard Article 3, a program for Human Rights Day 1956, written and produced by the international staff of United Nations Radio.